So I guess we're back again for another episode, although we never really left.
It's magically a week later.
How
was Thanksgiving?
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. Or I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
My Thanksgiving was in October on Columbus Day, remember? How was your Thanksgiving?
I hope it'll be good. I really hope there's going to be a lot of good Black Friday deals last week. So, because I'm really looking for some new video games.
Fair enough.
For real cheap. I was really pissed off today because they're supposed to have Assassin's Creed for real cheap and they didn't. So that's what I was sputtering about. Like, I'm just fucking pissed off because
two. You mean right?
Yeah, two. Okay. Yeah, because one I hated. Two is apparently correcting all the stuff I hated about one, and I have it from a very credible source, aka Justin. So I'm definitely looking to buy it.
Someone said the same thing to me.
Yeah.
And the Totally Rad Show guy said the same, so I might try it.
Pardon?
There's a show called Totally Rad Show with Alex Albrecht from Dig Nation and two other dudes.
Yeah, is that why we're not the Totally Rad Show?
We're rad enough, but it's already taken, so we can't be the even more rad than the Totally Rad Show because that would be rude.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, this is very true. So anyways, we're not supposed to be talking about video games this time. We're supposed to be talking about comic books because this is our long-awaited comic episode that we'll probably be doing hopefully more often.
Yes.
Because I should be reading way more stuff and you should be reading way more. Well, no, I mean, yeah, I guess you really couldn't read any more than you're already reading because you're you. But I figure we'll hit the ground running and no, I know I don't need the book. I got it. Yeah, Rachel actually brought over her copy of it.
Of your favorite book in the world?
No, I wouldn't say it's my favorite book in the world, but I would say that in the moment in which I read it and the content of the comic, you already know what it is, don't you, you fucker?
Now it just came together. Is it something I read more recently than you?
You mean after me?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, yes it is.
Yeah, I know what it is. Oh, it's
so good. Then what is my favorite comic of 2009?
Right? I believe it is I Kill Giants.
It is, in fact,
by
I
Joe
Kill
Kelly
Giants.
And
Jim
Ken Nakamura.
Nimura? Again, I am not the person to pronounce things. That is all you. Yes, but it's not. It's J.M. Ken.
Yeah, right.
I believe. Yes. So
I don't have it
from Man of Action Studios.
Yeah, that's Joe. Joe Kelly is one of the people from Man of Action.
They seem to do a lot of cool shit, Man of Action.
They do. Joe Casey's also a Man of Action. He does Godland. There's a guy... Oh, I wish that book was still coming out. There was a really interesting book. Fuck, what was it called? This is captivating podcasting. Maybe The Great Unknown? There was a... Fuck. Man of Action Studios comic. Yeah. Oh, Duncan Rulo's
Welcome to our podcast. Where we just
Duncan
Google
Rulo.
Things.
Hang on, we're getting there. Duncan Rulo.
Well, while you're talking about that, you left out the most important and most high-profile thing that comes out of Man of Action, which is Ben 10.
I haven't watched that. I've never seen an episode of Ben 10.
It's pretty fucking interesting.
I've heard. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. And I think they're doing... I think they're doing a live-action Ben 10 movie.
Really?
I fucking think so. It's from Joe Casey, Joe Kelly, Stephen T. Siegel, and
Duncan Rulo.
Duncan Rulo, okay. There you go.
It was The Great Unknown.
Bam, yeah. Second live action. Oh, wow. There's more than one live action movie. Holy shit.
Duncan Rulo, Joe Kelly and Joe Casey are obviously the biggest names from Men of Action. They're both huge and... Well, huge is a relative term, but they're both fairly famous. They're not Bendis, but and
huge as in famous, not huge as in like.
Yeah, no, they're relatively famous compared to Siegel and Rulo. At least they're the most famous of the two of the Men of Action Studios. And Rulo started this comic called Great Unknown from Image that I enjoyed, but I haven't seen anything from in months.
Okay.
Which is similar to Joe Kelly's Bad Dog and Four Eyes, but whatever. I'm not terribly complaining. Anyway, so. I Kill Giants.
Yes. another thing that I feel like I can't say anything about lest I ruin how awesome it is.
Fuck it, we'll ruin it. I'm warning everybody here. If you don't want to hear about,
shouldn't we talk about this last then?
Cause no, no, we'll fast forward. We can fast forward.
How do you know when? How do they know when to stop?
You can't put chapters on. You don't have GarageBand.
Okay.
We'll talk about it last. Fuck.
Ah, yes. I win for once, even though I'm fucking doped up on cold medicine.
See, I don't care about spoilers. If we just say it, there's going to be spoilers about I Kill Giants. Really? Come on.
Well, pretty much all the stuff is going to be spoilers, because I'm trying to think of, now that I've said my favorite comic book of 2000, my second favorite would be Incognito, before I forget.
Oh, sweet. That trade's coming out this week.
Really? Last week, technically.
No, this week. The trade's out. Oh, yeah. The trade came out the day before Thanksgiving.
So, today, basically. Or tomorrow. Or last week. Or whatever it's supposed to be. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
The trade is coming out on November 25th in comic stores almost everywhere.
Okay. Well, that would be a week ago-ish. Yes. So, actually, technically...
time travel fucks with my head.
Well, whatever it is. Yeah, this is not. I shouldn't be doing this kind of math while I'm fucking whacked out on cold medicine. So, anyways, fucking Incognito was awesome. Really cool. I like anything that's even remotely like Sleeper.
Okay.
So the fact that Incognito was very much like Sleeper was pretty fucking cool. I have not read Criminal yet, so don't fucking say anything about it.
I have not read Sleeper yet, so don't say anything about it.
You should. Sleeper is up. I would say that you should put it on your list of stuff to read. I would say that Sleeper is above. Well, I shouldn't say because I haven't read it, but I'm guessing it would be above Gotham Central. Because right now, my number one to read is Gotham Central. But if I hadn't read Sleeper, I'd say Sleeper would be number one. So, because I would say for me, Sleeper is up there with Preacher and Transmetro and fucking. We Three and some of the more awesome stuff that I've read in the last fucking 10 years, I guess.
I'm very interested in reading Sleeper. I am.
Yes. But,
however, I've read a lot of Brubaker in the last little while.
Yeah, and we can't have enough.
And I'm getting my Brubaker fix in Criminal because it's back out again. So that's why I'm not as pressingly needing to read both Gotham Central and Sleeper, which I have not read either of. Gotham Central, I'm a little higher up because it's also Greg Rucka, who I'm also a big fan of.
Really?
Recently, I didn't love.
No, I don't know anything about Gotham Central beyond I need to read it. So
I think it's also Michael Lark doing the art, and he's really good. But I'm not sure about that, and I'm not gonna
deferring to you. So, yeah.
So it's Rucka and Brubaker together, which I feel will be magic.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Have you read any Rucka?
Probably. I read everything, dude. I mean, I wouldn't say that I go by writers like you do. That's why I said, like, I just basically, whoever you says does things fucking good, because I read shit when it's either A, high profile, or B, really good. And I probably have not read much Rucka because I tried to read Queen and Country and I got like to the second or third issue and kind of gave up on it.
Really? So, but
I gave up on Planetary after the second or third issue. It has nothing to do with the quality. I'm sure they are excellent books.
It has to
do with the fact that I just have other shit to do, and it goes in the back burner. And I say years from now, when I have time, I'm gonna fucking do it. I never get back to it, and I'm a piece of shit for it.
So it's not you read it and didn't enjoy it and give up. It's you read it and got distracted by something.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I'm about to read it, and then something else comes out, and cool. I go, "God damn it, that fucking thing." I actually have read Rucka because I've been reading Batman.
Batwoman?
No, it says he did Batman fucking in the last bit. 572, 5 to 574, 565, 568, 587. Yeah, no, I've read those. Or
what's Batman up to now then? Because it's been Morrison for a long time.
No, but he doesn't do every one, though. I would assume he would just... Just seeing what the fuck Wikipedia says, it seems like he does every once in a while. I don't know.
Oh, he's done plenty of Batman, but it's been a while, I think, since he's done Batman. Although if you've been reading Batman for years, then you've definitely read
Batman is up to 693 right now.
Okay, so it's been 100 issues since you read wrote Batman.
No. I've been going back and reading Batman, is what I was trying to say. That's what I was telling you about this week. After playing Batman Arkham Asylum, I've been going back, and because, for example, they've been they've been referencing a lot of in jokes from Batman. Okay. And part of the game mechanic, in order to, because it's sort of, you have to level Batman to get new gadgets, or at least you have to get, okay, like you advance your gadgets and shit by leveling Batman. So in order to level Batman, you can fight with people, you can, you know, do whatever fucking Batman does, but there's a whole game mechanic that is just you solve mysteries given to you by the Riddler.
Ooh.
Yeah, so fucking cool, especially because like it'll be shit like, now I gotta see if I can fucking find one while I'm rambling on, but like it has something to do with a Batman character, usually. And so what it'll say, like, you'll walk into an area, and it'll say underneath the fucking title of the area, like, it'll say, like, whatever, the garden, you know, whatever, it'll say that, and you'll go, okay, cool, come on, fucking give me a riddle, I just want to read you something, I'm trying to find a good one, because I keep getting shitty ones when I see these, but basically the idea is that there's Riddler trophies you can find, there's all kinds of different shit or whatever like that, but then they have, like, Chronicles of Arkham, which is based on the fucking trade. Oh, I'm sure I remember what it was. It's not Arkham Living Hell. That's the new one with the Great White Shark character. His origin story. It's really good. You should read it. Really, it basically shows you it is a high class criminal, like a white collar criminal, ends up in Arkham Asylum because he pleads insanity for stealing millions of dollars.
Okay.
So he basically becomes a supervillain because he's exposed to Arkham Asylum. So it's pretty fucking cool. Like, okay, let's face it, there are two dents on the wall is one of the riddles in it.
I assume it has something to do with Harvey.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, it's just a little shit like that. You're like, okay, right. Harvey Dent, ha ha ha, Two-Face, whatever. You know, like shit like that. And you'll have to search for something and then scan it, and then it'll give you your Batman experience points.
Okay.
So I've been, because of that, I've been reading back through Batman to try and pick up all the references that I missed out, specifically the one about, what?
That's a lot of work, man.
No, it's great, because I'm picking up a lot of shit that I normally wouldn't have read, because I don't read stuff. Like, I don't read a lot of Batman comics because I figure it's the same reason why you really had to sell me on Blackest Night, because I don't mind reading major shit like that, but it's not self-contained, you know? Like,
you should go read Before Batman Died, spoilers. Paul Dini was writing Detective Comics for a long time.
Yeah.
And his Detective Comics stuff were all like one and done or like two-parter things over and over and over again. And apparently were really good.
Okay. So yeah, I like Batman. I mean, it's always that was the one. Batman was the one. If you imagine there being a line between there being a line between Marvel and DC, I was always willing to cross the picket line for Batman.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, because growing up I was always serious Marvel, and then, you know, it basically, since I've gotten back into comics in my 20s, because it was sort of like from, like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years old I started reading comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And then till about like maybe 13 or 14, maybe even 15, somewhere around there, kind of trailed off into my teens, and then like once I got to college and I was like located near a comic book shop again and everything, I started picking it up again. Actually, basically since like meeting you, it's like been, I'm so serious. Like, basically I met you towards the tail end of high school. And then, so pretty much like somewhere halfway through our relationship, you must've said or done something that made me pick up comics again. But I know for a fact that my first comic back was Midnight Nation by Straczynski, how do you pronounce his name?
J. Michael Straczynski.
There you go. Yeah, that dude. I'm pretty sure it was by him, Midnight Nation. Wow. A pretty decent comic to come back on. But then after that, I picked up fucking, while it was still kind of active, I think, was Transmetro and fucking Preacher and all the rest of that shit. The shit that I know and love today is like the fucking best thing ever. So yeah, so there's that. And so wait a second. What are you reading now?
Oh, Jesus.
What aren't I reading?
let me pull up the iFanboy pull list. Hang on.
Okay, wait, before you go on, what the fuck is iFanboy and why is everybody a member of it?
iFanboy is a podcast and website.
Okay.
Possibly the most popular comic podcast on the net right now.
Okay.
I met the guys when I went to New York last year for Comic Con, and they're all really nice.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was party I went to when we came back at like 2 and woke you guys up. And
well, I was sick, so yeah. You really can't, you know. Normally I'm out and about at 2 o'clock in the morning. Of course.
So what I'm reading and enjoying now, most of the Superman stuff from DC, all the Marvel cosmic stuff that Adam Nilanning are doing. I'm really enjoying Blackest Night and everything to do with it that I've read. I'm not reading Titans and stuff I don't normally read, but...
Wait a second, though. Before you go on, yes. A question that has nothing to do with the podcast, just yes. I want to know, what do I have to read to get updated with Blackest Night, or can I just jump in and figure it out on my own?
I would say you could jump in with Blackest Night 1. Good, you could probably even just stay reading just Blackest Night. You don't really, like, I guess you could read Green Lantern also. But I would.
I got nothing against it. So
you're a smart enough guy. You could follow and understand.
It's not that I'm smart. Easily. It's that I use Wikipedia.
Exactly. So. Like that. But the thing is, like, since I'm a member of the comic podcast forums and stuff, people are always sending messages saying, "Where do I start with Green Lantern? Especially Green Lantern these days because Green Lantern is really hot now. Where do I start with Green Lantern is a question. Yeah. Is a question that especially the iFanboy guys get asked all the time, and people are scared to just like pick up an issue and figure out the rest from Wikipedia. That's like, oh, this obsessive comic nerd bullshit about having to read everything, and you can't read everything. It's impossible.
I understand.
I know you understand. I'm ranting a little bit. You jump in, maybe pick the beginning of an arc at least. Like, I wouldn't jump into Blackest Night 4, but. Start the beginning of a individual story and fill in the pieces. It's not hard. If you're not fucking four or retarded, you can figure it out.
Well, no, I'm just... I think I say that question instinctually because you gotta remember, like, maybe it's a little bit different with Blackest Night because it's its own miniseries. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. Normally, it's like if I would ask you, where do I start reading with Batman R.I.P., Batman Rest in Peace? What the fuck do you say? R.I.P., Rest in Peace? I said Rest in Peace.
I said
whatever. R.I.P. Okay. Whatever it is, like that was hard for me to figure out because I had to go on Wikipedia, look everything up. Like, finally, I found like the checklist for it.
That's if you're asking a question like where to start with Batman RIP, sure, that makes total sense. But still, like, you pick an arc and you start there. That's all.
Okay. Sorry. Continue.
I apologize. This week, some of the stuff I'm looking forward to is Blackest Night, Chew, Detective Comics.
Chew was really good, by the way. I'm looking out for that one.
Detective Comics, which is now the Batwoman book. Fantastic Four, which is fantastic.
What was Fantastic?
Fantastic Four is amazing now.
Since when?
Since 569, maybe.
Really?
Maybe, or 570?
I don't tell anybody this, but Fantastic Four was... the comic I am most disappointed in because as a kid, I loved the idea of Fantastic Four. I really liked the Fantastic Four stuff that I used to read, like, you know, like the fucking like reprints of like fucking like from back in the day and shit. But I don't like modern day Fantastic Four because I feel like it's too much just like they blur the line between magic and science. Like it was so cool for me as a kid because I was like, oh, this could possibly be science. But it, you know, obviously like there's no such thing as like the negative zone or any of that shit or whatever. But obviously. I don't know. It seemed like they kind of lost track of it nowadays.
Okay. So, find whatever Hickman started. Jonathan Hickman.
Shit. So,
I think it's coming from, 570. Coming from a broken home. I think he started with 570. Like, Mark Miller and Brian Hitch, maybe, were writing and drawing it for 10 issues or something. It was supposed to be the resurgence, and I wasn't a huge fan of it. But when Hickman came on and Dale Eaglesham's drawing it, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's giant, big science. It's crazy stuff. Like, do you mind if I tell you the premise of this, the first arc they did?
Yeah, feel free. Yeah. I'll read it anyway. So
Reed Richards discovers a portal. Okay, Jonathan Hickman did a Dark Reign Fantastic Four miniseries which is which was Reed trying to figure out where things went wrong with the Registration Act and Dark Reign and the invasion and stuff. And in doing so, he found he was looking at all the possible universes and seeing what was different about them and which one succeeded with the registration and so on. And the common ones that succeeded were the ones where Reed Richards was sort of in charge of things.
Gotcha.
And after doing that at his portal to, or multiverse viewer thing, he ends up being found by this, what's the word I'm looking for?
Please tell me this has nothing to do with Marvel Zombies.
No Marvel Zombies. This group of Reed Richardses from all over the universe that have got together and become this mass, like hundreds of Reed Richards in this massive
Reed
group.
Richards Prime.
This massive group of Richardses. Some of them have Infinity Gauntlets. Some of them have like pocket universes to like their goal is this group of Richardses to solve the multiverse's problems. And so the arc is him with these going all over the multiverse and seeing what these Reeds are doing. Celestials show up, but ultimately there's a problem with it, and whatever, you know what happens. Shit happens. So yeah, Hickman is very much about the family aspect and the giant big science of it. So
fucking
it's
sold.
It's so good.
Gotcha.
Also excited about
who's drawing it?
Dale Eaglesham. He was drawing JSA for a long time. He's really good.
Okay, all right.
Green Lantern, I'm excited about. Guardians of the Galaxy and the rest of the Marvel cosmic stuff that Abnett and Lanning are writing is really good. Iron Man is really good. What else? I'm going to pick up JLA because I'm going to get a cheap plastic ring with it. Powers is back. Powers is back this week. The Superman stuff with DC is really good. Cowboy Ninja Viking is really good.
Wait, stop. Yeah. Why do I have to read Superman again? Because I fucking hate Superman.
Right now, Superman is not in Action Comics, is not in Superman. He's only in Superman World New Krypton, where he is on a planet filled with people with the same powers as him.
So why do I have to read Superman, though?
Because it's good. Right now, it's good.
What's it about?
Aside from the new Krypton stuff, it's about Metropolis and the defenders of Metropolis and their story. Mon-El is...
Who the fuck are defenders of Metropolis?
Well, they're sort of people, like, in Action Comics, it's focusing on two new characters called Nightwing and Flamebird. In Superman, it's all about Mon-El. Supergirl's about Supergirl, but it's actually good. And then Superman himself, Kal-El, is on New Krypton, which is opposite Earth in the solar system. And all about the politics and stuff that's going on there. It's written by James Robinson of Starman fame and Greg Rucka of Queen and Country and Batman fame. And it's actually pretty good. It's not blowing me away these days, but it's still solid and good, and I'd recommend it. Phonogram is always amazing. Flash Rebirth has been fun. Punisher is great right now, but you're gonna hate it.
Fuck you. Also, I thought Phonogram was only a miniseries.
Phonogram is a miniseries, but the last one came out last week, so I'm excited about that. It's fresh in my head. That's why. Gotcha. I love Phonogram. Okay. I love McKelvey's art. I have some art from him. There's lots of good stuff. From Marvel and DC are doing some good stuff. Echo is really good from independent stuff. Invincible. Echo. The Buffy and Angel series is sort of petered out. I'm not really caring about them anymore. What else has come out with Image? Savage Dragon's okay.
I really like while you're rambling off things. I caught up on Invincible because you told me to catch up on Invincible.
Yep.
Even though I thought it was kind of getting like it's very. I don't know, like, Invincible seems to me like the ultimate version of something, you know, like, it's sort of like there was no, like, if Invincible previously existed, you know, like, that sort of thing.
I understand.
So, it's good, it's great, I like reading it. I mean, I fucking can't argue with Kirkman, he's an excellent writer, he's really good. It's just, I don't know, I mean, it's something kind of bothers me a little bit about it. So I kind of, like, I read it, I love it, and then I kind of like, whatever, and I just kind of put it off for a couple months or whatever, and then you tell me to read it and I get back into it again. You know? I don't know. It's, especially, maybe, you know what, recently, I really liked it when it came out. I was like, I bought the fucking trades and everything, and like, I was really into that series. I think the reason I stopped liking it as much is because it seems they're going more into the other characters, which is reasonable, and probably why Kirkman is a way better writer of comics than I am, because he's actually able to like develop all the characters and balance them out, so you never feel like one character's like, you never feel like there's like a Mary Sue character that just like seems to like get everything right, you know. Yeah. It really does seem like he's really throwing some shit at his characters, and they actually have to deal with it. They can't just like say, yeah, whatever, fuck it, you know, like we're superpowered so we can just get away with it, you know. So I like it. It's a really good series, and yeah. So I just want to say that, because I highly recommend, especially because I think Justin will probably be listening to this, and I think that if Justin isn't reading Invincible, he should be, because I know he was a really big fan of Ultimate Spider-Man, and I think that Invincible is a better version of what Ultimate Spider-Man could have been. I think that Kirkman is a way better writer of new old superheroes than Bendis is, but then again, that's just my Bendis. Like, I just fucking, that guy bothers me ever since he moved on to doing stuff that isn't Alias. So
basically, it amounts to, if you like superheroes at all, you should be reading Invincible.
Yeah,
hands
yeah.
down. Like, there's no, in my, for my money, there's no better pure superhero book on the stand than Invincible right now.
And it's great for people like me, because you pick up Invincible 1, or you just pick up the fucking trades. Pick up the fucking trades, and you read it, and that's it. There's no spinoffs. There's no fucking... Well, I'm sure there are. There are probably other... Like, other... He probably does...
He's built a bit of a universe combining with Jay Ferber's stuff. So, like, Dynamo 5 show up. Noble Cause, the Noble family shows up. Savage Dragon showed up once.
Yeah, yeah.
Brit has showed up.
But Noble Cause Sounding
Wolfman
too,
has showed up.
So.
Noble Cause is really good. I'm sad it's done.
What?
Noble Cause is wrapped up.
Really?
Yep.
Jesus. I remember I read it back when it was in black and white, and I haven't read it since. Oh, so what?
Yeah, right. I'm not going to say I'm surprised you knew about it, but I'd never heard of it.
I know about things without you telling me.
I only heard about it like
I'll have you know, I read Wizard magazine at least once a year.
That's true. Yeah, I heard about them a couple years ago, maybe, and I've been reading them since. But yeah, they wrapped up 6 months ago, maybe.
Okay.
They weren't killed off or anything, but the series, obviously, it's not a terribly mass appeal series, you know. So it wasn't selling great. So he might come back with minis and things, but yeah.
Wait, it didn't sell too well? That sucks.
No.
Yeah, no, I feel like a dick for not reading it.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, well, probably is.
So wait, I gave you this a list of comics to read. I gave you homework.
Yes.
So we know what you think of Invincible. What else? Yeah. What else did you read that I urged you to partake in?
I don't know. It was your fucking list.
Fuck off. Sweet Tooth. You read the first. I know you read the first issue of Sweet Tooth.
I'd like to read more. Yeah, first issue of Sweet Tooth sounded really strong. It's certainly definitely my sort of thing. Like, it seems if I'm correct, that's about like the world is ending and there's one dude that's left in a fucking cabin somewhere and he looks like a fucking moose. Yes, antlers.
Sort of, yeah.
It was a while. I read it the week it came out, so it's been a while. How many issues have come out since?
Three or four.
Ah, you don't know that, do you?
Three or four.
Okay. Is it still good or no?
I'm still enjoying it. Okay. It might read better in trades, just because it's not a fast-paced comic in any way, shape, or form. But I don't think it's bad in issues. Some people have been complaining about the pace of it, but I'm a fan.
I read everything in trades.
Yeah,
anyway,
keep picking up the trades. If you're in... It was by Jeff Lemire, a fellow Canadian. Have you read anything else by him?
No.
Okay, you should definitely check out... he did a graphic novel this year called The Nobody, which is about... it's an Invisible Man story, like the bandaged face Invisible Man.
Okay.
Sweet Tooth is the first thing I've seen by him in color, but Nobody's in blue tones. But it's really good. It's short, easy to quick read. And the other one he did was Essex County, which was amazing. It's sort of small town Canada. It's not with some sort slight fantasy elements in it. And there's three volumes, so they sort of intertwine a bit. There's hockey involved. Kevin Smith would probably love it, except for the lack of shit and farts. I'm just saying because of hockey. But yeah, I read that when I was in Chicago. I was blown the fuck away. I know I give you a list of a lot of like series and stuff to read, but the stuff that's really exciting me, like I'm enjoying all the stuff coming out from Marvel, DC, and Image and whatnot. But when I read stuff like Mysterious Polyp, The Nobody, I Kill Giants, that's the stuff that really like knocks my fucking socks off.
I agree with you. I as much as I didn't really have much to say about it before, the comic book that I can't pronounce,
Mysterious Polyp.
There you go. Was very, very good. I would say that if you got some downtime and you want to read something that's a little bit higher brow than you normally read, that's certainly the book to go to. I would say not for everybody. It's way more of a Rachel book than I am.
Okay.
Than it is for me, because she's way more like I would say that the middle of the line between Rachel and I is Scott Pilgrim. And then as you go towards Rachel, you're going towards more like Blankets.
Okay.
And as you go towards me, you're probably going more towards like fucking like Invincible or that sort of shit, like Walking Dead or something along those lines. Because I'm way more into like
escapism.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, certainly like Preacher, I would say, is far on my side, and then Blankets is far on her side. I would say that Polyp is more on her side. And I actually did, when she got home tonight, I was like, you got to read this book. Ryan fucking told me to pick it up and whatever. And so she's probably going to read it eventually when she gets the time. So it'll probably be like another fucking month before she reads it. But she's like, no, I'm serious. She loves comic books. And she really, I would say the last comic book that I did recommend to her that she like picked up and just like sat down, read it, and then like just fucking didn't stop reading it was I Kill Giants. So,
yeah. Well, it's amazing.
I would think that Polyp would be the next one that she might do it with. Because especially like you said, like the way that each character has their own art style of when he's talking about interconnecting realities of how I really like the idea that a memory isn't a replaying of events. A memory is a recreation of events, because you recreate your memory every time you think of it and you come up with new things. I don't know, it's just like I said, it's a very, very high concept, for what's me at least, high concept kind of book. Very cool. So
yeah, it's real. Like, aside from the story itself, is good. It's not. It doesn't hurt anything at all. But it's really what drew me. Like, what I loved about it was the sort of looking at how to tell a story with comics, like how we use different look and feel for every character, or different fonts for every character, how that like different tones and colors depending on the situation, like all that technique, which doesn't get used a lot. But he used extremely well in it. And as soon as I finished, I wanted to like close it and open it again to start reading again, because to see what I missed the first time.
Yeah, I mean, when you first said it to me, I was like, all right, whatever. You know, like it's of what I could gather from it, it sounded like a very like artsy, crazy comic, whatever. Like certainly more on the side of like Mouse. Which is something I had to actually read for school. So I mean, like that was one of those things where it was like, oh yeah, cool, whatever, to read a comic book for school. But like, I don't know. Like sometimes I feel like some people should be using the medium. I feel like comic books are a good way to use to tell. I don't know. Maybe I've just never been into like the crumb, like sort of like everyday sort of like you're saying. I'm way more into escapism. Instead of just like retelling everyday things and with comic books as the medium, you know, and I certainly feel like an asshole when I say that, because I would never want to be the person who's like, oh, comic books are just for superheroes and fucking, you know, like kids and shit, but because they're not, there's really so much more you can do with it, and that's why I could never, even in the points where I felt like it was just a wall of text. And I didn't really like some of the parts of Polyp. I never felt like he was telling a bad story. I never felt like it really felt like Philip Roth, like the Philip Roth comic book. Like, it was very, very serious, very good, and really well told. And the, you know, like you said, the way he used the actual artwork. And yeah, I agree with you. I am not an artwork person. Basically, if you can draw stick figures on a fucking page and have, like, I'm from the dinosaur comics of like, you know, fucking, I'm serious. Yeah, like, I think that everything you said today about me as a comic book reader is fucking true. I like snappy, fucking action-driven comics that are, you know, way more into escapism and not so much into, like, fucking real life. Like, I need realism, obviously. I need, like, some sort of, you know, character development yeah. and shit like that. Like, that's why I like Kirkman. But, like, I'm certainly more into, like, fucking Battle Pope than I am into, you know. Like, certainly, yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of some of the ones that she's read, like, Chunky Rice. I'm trying to think the full name of that. It's, like, something Chunky Rice.
I don't know.
That was, like, her first... Oh, Goodbye, Chunky Rice. That was by Craig Thompson, the dude who actually did, in fact, write Blankets. Like, Rachel's the kind of person who really doesn't want any superhero. She doesn't want anything that's like even I try to get her to read Fables, and even Fables was too comic booky for her.
What about Why?
What?
What about Why the Last Man?
I think she tried to read Why and gave up on it.
Okay.
But then again, it might just be because anytime you put Why and me in the same room together, I'm gonna be like, you have to read this, is the greatest comic book ever. So it might have just been hammered. I don't want to blame that on her. I think that was certainly a fault of mine, because I really think that Why is one of the greatest comic books ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Made. So, and I'm so glad that fucking it got the recognition it deserved. Yeah. AV Club did their top comics of the decade, and Why got on there. And I would say Why,
so did Akewood, which shocked me.
Why?
I never hear anyone ever talk about Akewood. Like, I've been a fan for years. Years. But, like, I never hear anyone ever talk about it. Ever. So I was very happy. Like, I'm not shocked, upset. I'm just shocked, like, very happy to see it there.
But the thing... Well, yeah, okay, all right. But I'm just saying, like, from a critical point of view, I think if you're gonna have a list of the top comic books of the decade and you don't have Akewood on there, you're a... fucktard.
Clearly I agree, but like
it is a webcomic that has character development, constant humor, and it is ridiculous. It is fucking great.
No, in my mind, it is the second best comic strip of all time after Calvin and Hobbes. And that is high fucking praise from me, because Calvin and Hobbes is pretty much untouchable.
What would even compare to Akewood then? I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, Calvin.
Maybe Farside.
What would be third?
Maybe Farside.
Alright, maybe.
I haven't read any Bloom County, but I feel like I should, because I've heard only good things about it, and I want to pick up the new collection Dark Horse put out. But I've never read any, so I don't know. But I think that might be a contender.
Okay.
But it's Calvin Hobbes is rarefied air. Like, it's perfect. It's perfect. Perfect, Joe. Perfect.
I know. I agree with you. I think it is the T-Rex in F-14s of all comics that have been made.
You fucker.
No, I'm serious. I think Akewood is great. I agree with you. I'm very much with you. I would say, yeah, Akewood is number two and Calvin Hobbes is number one. But I mean,
actually, I went through and added all 25 of those that I haven't read, which is most of them, onto my wish list, so I made sure I don't forget them.
What do you mean?
The list of 25, the AV Club. Sorry. And
you dying, man?
No, just gassy from the beer. The list of the AV Club list of 25 best comics, I went through and added to my Amazon wish list. So I don't forget them. Or if I'm at a con, I can go look and see what's on the list. I make sure I can pick it up if they have it for cheap or something, just so I have it handy.
But I felt like most of the stuff that they picked was kind of like, it's the stuff that maybe. All right, I can.
The understand. Stuff you like, won't read. It's stuff, yeah, Rachel stuff might read, but I'm broader. One thing I am is very broadly. I like a very broad swath of things. I'm not the most critical or discerning consumer of media. So I like, and some of the stuff I might not like. Like, I'm not sure I'll like the Lu Riel biography or the Pyongyang journalism one, but
yeah.
There's I've never read anything by Chris Ware. I've never read anything by James Kochalka. I've never read anything by I always forget his name, the Ghost World guy, Daniel Close. Is he the Ghost World guy?
Fuck if I know. That's another one that I just kind of toss aside, and that and Black Hole was pretty much like the
yeah.
I hear a lot about Ghost World and a lot about Black Hole, and I just go fucking whatever. That's a Rachel book. So
what the hell?
What?
Okay, sorry. It was an IMDb ad. So yeah, those
was it the thing crashing through the page?
No, it was a nursery. It was like a lullaby sounding thing.
God.
I don't know. So yeah, those are real stuff I want to read because I like the medium, so I feel like I should read some of these more alternative or comics with an X stuff.
Okay.
And I've read some, and since I am starting to like more and more of these sort of OGN and more high concept or more personal stories and the superheroes, I feel like I want to read more and more of these things. So that's why I'm sort of pushing. I heard about there's a series called Bean World. Which I heard about Bean World, which I heard about on 11 O'Clock Comics, which is another comic podcast. And Vince B, who is a crazy motherfucker, but I love him. He's extremely passionate about comics. And at one point he was talking about this book called Bean World, and I asked around, other people were talking about how it's he said it should be in the same strata as Watchmen and Transmet and stuff like that,
really?
Gold standards of comic booking. And I asked around some people, and there are some people who would be in the know of that kind of thing, and they also liked it. And so I don't get it. I don't think you're gonna like it. So I'd recommend it. It's always hard to describe Bean World. The art is very, very sort of stick figure-y, simple, symbolic look.
Yeah, I'm seeing it now, yeah.
And it's sort of it's sort of like a weird mythology telling of things. And I love it and find it interesting and fascinating and how he uses it as allegory for things in the real world and stuff. But I totally get why it's not the biggest thing in the world.
It seriously looks like something that I'm glad somebody likes it.
Yes,
I'm so happy the dude can make a living off it. I hope he can, because
that's why it wasn't on my list of things for you to read, but that's the stuff like that where it's a little weirder and more sort of pushing the edges of things and trying to see what you can do with sequential art, for lack of a less pretentious word. Phrase. I'm finding more and more interesting as the time goes on, and I'm getting more and more sort of blasé about capes and cowls. But yeah.
See, that's the exact opposite of me, because I'm definitely getting more. That's why I was even kind of pressing you on Superman, because even though I think Superman is the least interesting character in the whole. Of all the major characters like Spider-Man, Batman, all that kind of shit.
Yeah, innately I totally get that.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see, because I think that when someone is able to bring something new to something that I fucking hate, I love it. Because as much as I'm an asshole and I'm kind of pompous and I'm always right about things when it comes to comics, and I'm not, I know that, and I think that's why, of course, I think my favorite stuff is when people prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Because if you asked me what some of the finest work in DC has been, I'm going to say actually Superman stuff, even though I fucking hate Superman, because Red Son was fucking excellent. I
still haven't read that.
That should be on your fucking list. I was a little bit upset that it wasn't on the fucking, best of the decade or whatever, because Red Son was a really, really cool book. Maybe it wasn't the best written book, but
did you read All-Star Superman?
I did read All-Star Superman. I thought Red Son was better, but then again, I
but
think
did you enjoy Red? Did you enjoy All-Star Superman?
Yes, okay. I did. Yes, I did. Yeah, no, I that's
quite a machine.
Too, like I'm saying, I think it's Superman's Secret Identity. I'm
that
trying
sounds,
to think.
Oh, I've heard. I've
always,
heard that.
I always get confused. It was around the same time. It was Secret Identity and something else came out. Yeah, it was Secret Identity. That's what it was. Superman's Secret Identity was by far one of my favorite trades that I picked up in the last decade, because like, when it came, when it comes to big, big names, mm-hmm. like I'm saying, like, it was written by Busiek,
okay. Kurt Busiek.
There you go. And Stuart Immonen.
Oh, Immonen's great.
Immonen, there you go. Yeah, so fucking really good names, you know, really good book. 4 issues, miniseries, got it in the fucking trade, you know, whatever. It was basically about a kid named Clark Kent who was named after Superman.
No, I've heard about it.
Our real world, yeah. And he became Superman, and it shows what it would really be like to be a superhero in our mm-hmm. world, you know, how the government would kind of use you and things like that, whatever. And I'm not going to get too much into it, but it's very, very cool and very, very touching. You know, and especially because, again, it was a book that stressed, like, the family and how shows how people actually deal with shit in the real world, like, mm-hmm. real problems. It's like, that's what I was saying. Like, I love escapism, but, like, it always seems like I really love family-oriented books in that group. Like, why? It was certainly, like, that was their little family group that they had. You know,
you should check out Jeff John's JSA stuff.
Sold. Yeah,
all right. Because it's all about this community of sort of old guard superheroes training the young ones. But it's about sort of them as a family, and it's a giant group of people. So it's like the Golden Age, Flash, Green Lantern, Wildcat, Hawkman, and stuff. Yeah. Training these young guns, essentially. And his run was fantastic. And it was done by Eaglesham, did the art. Really, if Jeff Johns is on the cover of something, let that name Johns just pick it up. He did great stuff with Superman until up until the end of the new Krypton story. Hang on. Hello? Hey.
You're going to take a phone call right in the middle of the podcast.
Well, we fucked up at the beginning, and we recorded only my side of things. And, yeah. We started at 7:30 instead of 7, so yeah. We're not probably not going to be much longer at this point, but...
Yeah, we're going about maybe 5-10 more minutes.
Okay. All right, take care. Bye.
That's not getting edited out. That's staying in there.
That's fine. Johns wrote Superman for a few years. He did some really interesting stuff with like the Legion and Brainiac, and he has a really good knack of tying together decades of continuity in a way that makes sense and rearranging it in a way that makes sense and is fun and interesting. So he did all the stuff up to the end of this new Krypton stuff, which I've sort of spoiled for you by saying that Krypton is back.
I'm seeing that...
grown out of the bottle city of Kandor. And it's sort of in opposite orbit around the sun from what I gather as Earth. Okay. So right now, this current status quo of the Superman books is Superman is off-world... on New Krypton as a member. So his story is now, he's no longer the most powerful man on Earth. Everyone has his powers.
Really?
So it's all the politics and what makes him super is not necessarily, well, I mean, clearly the fact that he can fly and punch through walls and stuff is super. But his upbringing, his Ma and Pa Kent, all that stuff that taught him his morals and his Boy Scoutedness. Mm-hmm. Is part of it.
Gotcha.
Superman last time with Jeff Johns.
What is it? Actually, the reason I said really was kind of in response to you, but you said that before. Actually, kind of the reason why I was suddenly surprised because I saw that on Amazon because I started looking up those up. It's Superman Last Son trade by Johns and Kubert.
That one I haven't read, but the other ones linked to it. Like you see the Brainiac one and there's a Legion one linked to it, I think, and a new Krypton one linked to it. Those ones are all really good. And so now that he's there, Jeff Johns isn't writing any Superman books, aside from his Secret Origin of Superman miniseries.
And Secret Origin of Superman?
Yeah, he's sort of retelling the origin of Superman.
All right, see, that's something that fucking bothers me. But that's something that is pretty well established. Is there anything he can add to that?
To be fair, it's changed a few times. Like, with Infinite Crisis, it changed. With Crisis on Infinite Earths, it changed. Like, within degrees, he's clearly still an alien and raised in Kansas, but whether Supergirl came at a certain point or Krypton was destroyed or not, all that stuff has changed. So he's just retelling it as a sort of a definitive, this is what the current Superman story is. And it's just a fun, it's not a must read, but it's fun.
Okay.
And I really like the Gary Frank art. So yeah, the Superman is in space in Krypton, and the Superman titled book is all about Mon-El and Guardian, and the Action Comics is mostly about Nightwing and Flamebird. So it's the people that are protecting Metropolis while Superman is gone. And it's all pretty good. Rucka's really good. Robinson is, I think, is really good. Some people are less hot on him, but yeah, it's for most accounts. I'm not a huge Superman fan, but for most accounts, it's the best Superman has been in a very long time, if not like ever.
All right, I can't argue with that shit. So
that's where Superman stands now.
Basically, you're just blowing my mind, because pretty much everything I know about comics has changed in the last, like, 2 or 3 years, so that's fucking fucked up. You know, like, I'm serious. I mean, like, I don't like reading Fantastic Four, and now you're telling me it's awesome. I don't like reading Superman, and now you're telling me it's awesome. You know, like, I asked you, like, I really like Batman, and you were like, eh.
Well, no, Batman and Robin, especially the first three issues, were great.
Yes.
The next three were good, but I'm not a huge, like, I don't mind the art by Philip Tan, but some people hate it. I don't mind it.
Hey, as long as it's better than All-Star Batman, I'm okay, so.
Because All-Star Batman
was a fucking joke.
The actual Batman book is the one I'm not, like, I'm Red Robin's pretty good. Detective Comics is amazing. The art especially is fucking unbelievable. Batman and Robin is good. Batman itself is okay. Batman itself is okay. I'm not reading the Streets of Gotham or Gotham City Sirens and stuff, but whatever.
Yeah, Gotham City Sirens seem kind of like fucking like wank book to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I'm trying to at least fucking catch up on things. And yeah, I really do mean it when I say that you're an asshole, because I'm gonna spend my next month reading comic. Like, this is like. Just like the fucking Wire, you know, like, and I know that, like, I'm now in season 4 of the Wire, so, like, I know, like, I can see the end in sight, you know, like, I have 2 discs at home, and I have 4 more to go, so, basically, like, I know the end is coming for the Wire, and I know that I'm gonna have to fill that void with comics, sweet comics, so.
Or Breaking Bad.
Ah, you asshole. Is there ever a time where you're like, nah, I don't know what to recommend you? I don't know what possibly to say.
After Breaking Bad, I'm not sure. I'll say catch up with Mad Men, but after Breaking Bad, I'm not sure.
Fair enough. All right, well, before we go, we promised we would talk about I Kill Giants. So
yes.
To everyone who doesn't want to hear about I Kill Giants, have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful Christmas. Thanksgiving last week, Future's Christmas. We're too far out for Christmas and Hanukkah, so whatever, but... Yeah, so have a fun whatever, because this will be up probably in a while.
It'll be the 3rd. Have a happy Ryan's birthday.
Yes, that is the greatest holiday of all.
This should come out on the 3rd. Tomorrow is my birthday.
Really? Well, happy birthday, sir.
Thank you. And this time travel stuff confuses me, so.
I'll probably tell you happy birthday next week, too, so.
You mean this week, of course.
Well, yes, that's how it is. We always record in the past and in the future and the whatever. So anyways, to those people, have a good time, week, whatever. But for the rest of you, I Kill Giants.
Yes. Okay, when I Kill Giants first came out, people were raving about the first issue, and I tried it and was like, eh. Because the sort of manga style of things didn't really do anything for me.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that style of art.
I don't know. See, the thing, like, I'm not a big art person, but I thought the art was fantastic. That's what
it's not bad. It's just not a style I'm a huge fan of. At least not at the time, especially like whatever the case was. The fates were not aligned for me to really get into it, and the art was part of that for sure.
Okay.
Then 7 or however many months it took for it to come out. Passed and everyone went bananas for it, and I'm like, okay, I will read this at some point.
And then you heard it from me.
And then I don't know if I told you about it or you just read it and found out from Wizard or something. But
how the fuck did I find out about it? I don't know. Probably some. I do read, and like, I don't like following forums, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I've probably found out about it somehow. It wasn't from Wizard. I don't think they.
Yeah.
I don't
know. But you read it and then also said it was amazing. So did I read it on the way to Chicago or on the way back from Chicago?
It hooked me because it originally that's what it was. No, it had nothing to do with anything. What?
Hello?
What's so funny?
I will go make sure. Okay, I'll go open it. Bye.
All right, I'll be right back. I have to go open the back door.
Oh, you're killing me. Well, I'll just talk to myself.
You can keep talking. Bye.
Yeah, so the reason I found out about I Kill Giants was because we were at Borders one day. And I don't remember what it was. We were sitting reading comics and Borders. Rachel and I tend to do that, or at least we did tend to do that before she started working at Barnes & Noble. And found it in hardcover, and it was all wrapped in plastic wrap and everything. It looked really cool. I really liked the cover of it and everything. I'm not the person who buys books by the cover, and I know Joe Kelly, so I was kind of like, I don't know. So basically, you back?
Yeah.
No, just the mic. Oh, there you go. Yeah, so I know I think based on the fucking cover, I think from one trip to Borders, I said I'm going to buy that book for Rachel because it looked really interesting. And Rachel does tend to pick most of her books by the cover.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd get a copy of it. I'd look at it and I'd say, okay, is this any good or yes or no? And I read it. I loved it. And especially because Rachel's mother had cancer for quite some time, and it was quite a ride, quite a trip going through all that and everything. And the fact that the book really hit home on a lot of the stuff that I know Rachel was feeling at the time, I was like, this is amazing, especially because Rachel is that person. Rachel is really like that character where she's kind of in her own world and like fairyland and everything, you know, and all that. And I was like, it's really – and I think because – I know Rachel does that because in her own way, it's her way of coping with things, because in Rackle world, everything is wonderful, and it rightfully it should be, you know, when things are not. So, you know, it was a very, very cool book. I really liked all the art and I really liked all the writing and stuff, whatever. So I'm sorry. I feel like I'm rambling now. You were reading it on the way to Chicago apparently?
I think I read it on the way – I think I brought it to Chicago and I apparently read lots of good books in Chicago, and I think I read it on the way home from Chicago. I think I read it waiting in Midway Airport, waiting for my flight. The art was fantastic. The story was great. Like it really hit home for me too, because my dad had just come out of come out of quintuple bypass surgery. So it was like I can understand the whole going into your own little world and trying to avoid the dealing with reality bit. Fine. And he recovered quickly, so it's all good. But still, like, I'm sort of glad I read it after that and not before, because it sort of hit home even more. And, like, it's been years since my grandparents all died, so it's not like I don't have any real sick people in general. But so, yeah, normally I don't, but, yeah, my dad was just sick, so I was like, Joe Kelly is amazing right now. He's amazing right now. And he apparently works on How I Met Your Mother, which is a fantastic show.
What?
there is someone named Joe Kelly that is a producer of, or some sort of staff person on How I Met Your Mother. And I believe it's the same Joe Kelly. Not like Christopher, not like the producer Christopher Lloyd. That's not the same Christopher Lloyd from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. But apparently, someone said either they're mistaken or not. But someone said it was the same person.
According to Wikipedia, they're mistaken. So, because I'm not seeing anything at Wikipedia about that,
I have no idea. Either way, he's awesome. His Spider-Man. I know you weren't a big fan of the new Spider-Man stuff, but his Spider-Man stuff was really good. His Bad Dog and Four Eyes are both really good.
I didn't read his Spider-Man stuff. I read somebody else's, didn't I?
Well, I don't know how much you read, so I don't know who was writing. Oh, you read Van Lente, I think.
Probably.
I think, was it Chameleon Stuff Van Lente? Anyway, you read the Chameleon story, which I loved. And I'm mad at you for not liking, but
fucking whatever. So.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm not actually mad at you. But
no, I know.
But yeah, no, I Kill Giants. It blew me away. after, and I'd just read other amazing books that weekend, so it was like it had lots to live up to, and everyone had been hyping it for months and months and months, and well, it still met all expectations.
Oh, I agree with you, but before we finish up here and like just jizzing all over this wonderful book, the reason I don't like most new Spider-Man stories is because I am so opposed to One More Day and Brand New Day, because okay. Because that's another one where I don't know what it is, because I feel like maybe it's just like I'm in a cycle, you know, like when I was a kid, Marvel could do no wrong, and yeah. Now I feel like DC can do no wrong, but they're doing the same things.
Yeah,
you know, like punching reality is really no different than making a deal with the devil. Yeah. But I just feel like all the stuff with Spider-Man is heresy, and all, like fucking, you want to punch people into existence or out of existence, you want to bring people back as crazed zombies. I don't fucking run with it. Go, awesome, go. You know, I have no problem with that. You know, but like the idea of saving your old, crippled, fucking, withered piece of shit aunt in exchange for getting rid of your baby on the way and wife. Like, I fuck that. I don't understand any of that shit.
I never read any of the One More Day stuff, so I don't. I haven't read Spider-Man for a long, long time, so I just jumped in fairly recently with the new stuff. So I don't care that they're not married anymore. I'm not like, I didn't go through a lot of time with them married. I didn't go through the whole shebang about them separating without getting divorced. But I'm taking the stories what they are now and enjoying them. Like yes. I'm not tainted by that because I didn't have any real connection to that previous Spider-Man.
See, I did, because that was my Spider-Man, was the Spider-Man basically like marriage and after. Because yeah. He got married basically, I think, around when I started in comics, I believe. I don't fucking know when it was, but, you know, it was always Spider-Man being married, and always like, Spider-Man having to worry about, you know, fucking, you know, having to go home to his wife and shit. So, you know, I don't know. And I really shouldn't talk too much shit about JMS, because like I said, Midnight Nation was the book I got back into comics on. He's from Jersey, so
he wrote the real Ghostbusters.
Really?
He was the writer for the old real Ghostbusters cartoon for the first two or three seasons, while before it got the voices changed.
Okay, well I guess he can shit all over whatever he wants then, because holy crap, he was the writer for He-Man, She-Ra, The Real Ghostbusters, Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future? What the fuck is that?
Oh, you never saw Captain Power?
No, sir.
Captain Power was this show where you could buy toys that would interact with the show in some way. So it's like, you could blast it with like a light gun type thing and it would either explode or not. And it would affect if they shot you and you didn't shoot them first, you would like shoot out of your toy ship or something.
Yeah,
it was probably a little before you.
Looks like no, 87, 88. So
you were four.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
That's why, like, you were alive, but I just mean you weren't like prime toy buying.
Yeah. Well, that's Ghostbusters awesome. Ran from 86 to 91, so I don't know, whatever. But specifically, he was a supervising producer on Walker, Texas Ranger. So clearly the man can do no wrong.
Also Babylon 5.
Yeah, well,
he created Babylon 5. Oh, I love Babylon 5.
I guess that's another series I need to keep or I need to start watching.
Nah, you're not a huge sci-fi guy.
What?
I feel like you're not a huge sci-fi guy.
You feel like I'm not a huge sci-fi guy?
I mean, like,
guy?
In terms of science fiction television series... Oh, you did watch a bunch of Star Trek, though.
Yeah, Rachel's a huge Star Trek fan, so... I mean, I take offense to saying that I'm not a huge sci-fi guy, because I am just not in TV.
Yeah, I mainly meant about TV.
Yeah, so because like movies and books, like actually, right? If you look at my reading list on ReaderNot, you will see that pretty much every book I've read in the last year has been either science fiction or related to space or robots.
Yeah.
So pretty much, I got that covered. But yeah, I tried watching. I tried watching Babylon 5 years ago. I tried watching Andromeda. I tried watching... I try to give everything a fair shake, you know, because I feel... Because the one show I didn't give a fair shake was Firefly. So, you know, and then I felt like an asshole later when I did discover it and actually gave it a chance. So many times that happens where I just kind of blow things off because I don't like the look of them, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so... Oh, what the fuck was the other one I was thinking?
Farscape?
Oh, Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
No, I never watched Farscape, actually.
There's Muppets in it.
I know, but I think that's the reason why I didn't want to watch it. Okay. Because, like, I didn't want to... I'm very particular about my Muppets, sir. I'm very particular about them.
Fair enough.
Battlestar Galactica. I watched the movie, like the first like mini series thing, with Rachel, and like the first couple episodes of it, and that's about it. Like, I never really got into Battlestar, but I know I probably should. But like I said, it's another show where I love sci-fi, but I won't pick it up because I know that I've ruined so much of it because I listen to people.
Yeah.
But we are supposed to be using this time to talk about I Killed Giants. So is there anything left we need to say? Because this is getting pretty long.
We both loved it and gushed over it.
We're over an hour now, so.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Oops. so much for half an hour to 45 minutes.
Well, we can edit stuff out and turn it into a half hour.
You can
edit whatever you feel like and either make a third show out of the awful from the first two shows, the first two tapings, and make a third show out of it.
This is two. That is the way it is. And now you got your robot voice coming back, so have a good week, everybody. And Robot Ryan, would you like to send us out?
Exterminate. Good night, everybody.